We're good.
Good morning. We're in Romans, the 15th chapter. Everybody there? All right, 15:1 says, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for each person here. And I pray, God, a special blessing upon them. Help them, Lord, to hear you and your word. God, be with us. And those that are not here because of sickness or travel or vacation, whatever, please be with them, Lord. Bless them. I pray this in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. One of my all-time great series is The Count of Monte Cristo. Anybody ever watch that? Yep. Anybody read it?
Yep.
Okay, well, It was a story about a man that looked like he had a life, you know, was on his way, and through conniving of a guy that wanted to marry his girlfriend and a prosecutor that didn't want his father to get killed, I'm doing 10 series in about 2 minutes, so bear with me. So basically, it came down to he got thrown in prison in a very bad place for 15 years. And through providence of God, that's what the movie said, he got out. And he was given a large sum of money. And he went about one thing on his mind. Y'all can imagine, don't you? Revenge. Amen. Revenge. And even he was in the prison with a priest. And the priest told him, says, you know, you might as well go on and dig two graves, yours first and the other person's second. And he didn't listen to him. Like a lot of people don't listen to preachers and preachers. Just saying. So Edwin goes on and he proceeds to plot revenge on each person that had anything to do with his downfall. And it was a good number of people, and he was very astute at every detail to make sure he got his pound of flesh. The only problem was, as he began the progression of the revenge, it started kind of backfiring on him, because people that were not actually connected were being harmed because of his revenge. At the beginning, it was okay because it wasn't real serious. But then a lady took her life and obviously took her child's life because her husband, nefarious ways. And so he comes and he finds her and she's dead and the child's dead. And it just, that disturbed him. It didn't stop him, but it disturbed him. He was so bent on 15 years worth of revenge that he absolutely had to do this. So as it came to the end of the movie, he's back standing with his girlfriend talking, and he says, I can't return. Think about it. I can't return from where I used to be. But he had messed himself up so bad. Then the girlfriend obviously had the best words of the whole movie. She said, "Love can heal." And you know, I hope each and every one of us think about that movie. And I mean, you know, the message today is about how we treat people and things of that nature. But think of all that he went through, and he became a very rich man. He was wealthy beyond most people's lives, things of that, blessed every way, but he had to have his revenge. So in verse 1, it says, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." You know, that sounds reasonable, doesn't it? We who are strong, amen, Turn back to 14:1. Maybe I can read better. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him. Whoop! Welcome somebody that's not like us.
Amen.
This different, this weird, talks funny, acts funny. Listen, listen to me, church. God wants to build a church here.
Amen.
On the church that's here. Listen to me carefully. God wants anybody and everybody to be able to walk through that back door and be welcomed by everybody in this room. Now, listen to Scripture. Paul is talking to Gentiles and Jews at the same time. If you've been studying this in Romans, he keeps falling back on what he's supposed to do. You know why? Because he loves the Jewish people. He's the prophet or the priest and the minister to Gentiles. But he knows the Jews. He is a Jew himself. He can't stand the thought that there any one of them would go to hell. He said, I'd rather go to hell than let one of them go to hell. That's his passion. And all through the book. And so here he is in 14:1. As for one who is weak in faith, welcome him. We will have all kind of people come through our doors. People who have no faith at all, who are probably angry and upset with God, angry and upset with some of y'all, or people outside the church. It doesn't matter, as long as they're upset, right? So how do we win them back to Christ? How do we lead them to Christ? Well, we love them. So then, for those of you who are strong, 15:1 says, we who are strong have an obligation. An obligation is something that you owe God. And he said, well, come on now. You don't know the kind of people that come in our store, in our church. We have to be cold to them so they'll leave. We have to be indifferent to them. We don't need to talk to them. Why would I want to talk to them people? Well, God's just telling you through Paul, you have an obligation to talk to them. So, you know, it truly, if you have that kind of feeling, if you don't like people, you don't like color or wealth or poor or whatever in between, you should get on your knees and beg God to forgive you. Absolutely forgive you. Listen, we're to love everybody. It goes on, verse 2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to put my neighbor before myself? Y'all can read English as well as I can. We're to put our neighbor. Who is our neighbor? Somebody that's not even a Christian. Y'all do remember the man that got beat up on the road and then priest came by and said no. Somebody else came by and said no. And then a Samaritan came by and helped him. And God said, he helped his neighbor. We're to help our neighbors. Amen. He goes on there. He says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. You mean to make him better than I am? Yeah, that's what it means. It means for us to lift people up. You know, I was talking to my friend Ariel this morning about people not being built up. They've been torn down, called names, just derided and just pushed to one side. You know, that's tearing people down. What we need to do is lift people up, absolutely love people, to where they have an opportunity to see Christ. See, we can sit back and we can be good little Christians and not do a thing. And you can be dry as a corn husk and do nothing. Amen? Or you can become alive and do what God tells us to. In verse 3, for Christ did not please himself, but it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. Every sin that we've ever committed and everybody that committed fell on Christ. Reflection on God. Christ died for our sins. You know, I think sometimes we forget what he's done for us. I mean, The obligation comes from what he's done for us. Everybody understands that, right? If you can't connect the dots, I can pull the line down for you. The obligation for us is just, you know, what in the world is the difference between my sin and God's love? It's night and day. But he tells me that I can love somebody like Christ, and he loves me too. So if he died for my sins, what should I not be able to do for Christ? Do y'all understand? It's eternity we're looking at. We're not looking at 10 minutes. We're looking at eternity. And he says, I have blessed you with eternity. And all you need to do is just have faith in my son and know that you're a sinner, that you need a savior, and that you need Christ. He goes, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days were written for our instruction. The Bible was written for our instruction. There is example after example of our lives. He set it all up so you could see and understand what will come, what is coming, how we're to react to people, how we're to love our enemies, die for our enemies, live and build them up, all these things. The Bible should be read and read and read. I challenged this church to read a few verses a day. I had one person that let me know they were doing it, which you don't need to tell me what you're doing, but, you know, it's an encouragement to me. At least one person said, you know, I took your advice. I began to read. Everybody here should be reading every day. There's no excuse for us not to read his word every day. That through endurance and through the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. The scriptures bring hope. Look, let me read that one more time. For whatever was written in former days were written for our instruction, that through endurance, patience, y'all. How many of y'all have patience? Oh, Lord. The only way I can relate to that is I have no patience on the highway. But I'm learning. And through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. The encouragement of the scriptures. See, if you're not reading and you're not studying the word of God, you're missing the encouragement of God. He says, I will use my word to encourage you, to bring you up, to show you what life is supposed to be, to have hope. You know, some people think of hope as, I hope tomorrow's got a bright, sunny day. Okay, that's good. Well, I don't hope about tomorrow. I'd call the weatherman. What I have hope in is God. And it's not a guesswork. It is the hope of reality. What he told me he's going to do and what he's doing. I see God working in people's lives, working in my life, and how he's using the word to move his agenda around and through lots of people. I see people that I never would have suspected to be affected. And boom, God affects them, and life changes for them. What a joy to be able to watch and understand. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant to you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. Harmony. You know what? When everybody sings up here on Sunday night, you know, we kind of harmonize. I don't know if y'all noticed or not, but it is beautiful. And I honestly think we ought to start out in the choir and then go down. We just sing to empty benches and then go down. I don't care how many people come. Everybody ought to be up here singing one time, then go down. It's like the Tabernacle Choir out there in Salt Lake City. They have beautiful words. If they just had their doctrine right, think what they'd be. But think about it. You know, if we're in harmony, we can sing together. If we're in harmony, we can live together. You know, you think of the people that have gotten angry in this church and left. Amazing. I think some through just being ornery, some through being insulted, some being maybe they didn't like the preacher, which is okay, you know. But think about it. God tells us to be in harmony. So then I asked you, who's the peacekeepers? Who are the ones that go and intercede? Who are the ones that bring people back together with other people? Church, it's your job. It's the preachers. No, it's your job. Yeah. I hate to tell you all that, but it's the truth. Think about what the Bible says. Y'all have spiritual gifts. I have a spiritual gift. Amen? And I try to do it. But let me tell you, in this congregation are all those people that need to be make the harmony work perfectly. And if we sit on our hands and do nothing, nothing happens. Think of hope from God, His word, church that believes the Bible, lives the Bible, will be fine. And it doesn't matter about the size. Listen to me very carefully. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also. Don't ever forget that. So God, He can have this place packed or few. It's our effort. It's what we're to do. Now, He sends people, thank God. But understand, church, it is our job to love them to where they want to stay. And when they leave, they want to come back. Glad you came this morning. You helped me. Think of my people. Did we run them off? Did we stay on their back so long enough to where they left? Did we treat them bad? No. Did we have vengeance in our heart to do bad things to people? God wants us to do good. He wants us to love people who are unlovely, who are weak in the faith. Read 14:1 a few times and understand those people who are weak. Now he tells us not to argue with them. Just love them. Amen. Well, what do we do? We're doing it my way or the highway. Right? Amen. Isn't that the way it goes? Well, God doesn't want us that way. He wants us to love people, care for people. That together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're here, y'all. We're to bring glory to God. Each and every one of us should be praising God for allowing us to be here, to be anywhere. He has the control. Therefore, verse 7, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. You know, maybe we should start just every time we see each other, just hug each other. We got to break the cycle. Amen? Absolutely. Some of you, I've seen, never mind. Verse 8. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness. Think about that. Christ became a servant, the lowest of the low, that the Jewish people would understand who he was. They didn't catch on. I'm afraid a great number of Gentiles never catch on because Christ is who he is. He is God Almighty He's in heaven at the right hand of the Father right now, but at one time he walked on earth as a man, and he did nothing for himself. He took everything on the chin. The only time he ever rebuked anybody was who? It was so-called church leaders, the priest. He said, "You whited sepulchers." Why? Because they were supposed to know better. They were supposed to, they knew the Bible. They were misusing the Bible for their own ends. Greed had overtaken the whole Jewish system.
Amen.
And that can never happen in a Baptist church. Right. Let me tell you something. It can happen anywhere. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised. God Almighty, who comes, and they rejected him. And John, it talks about in the first chapter, it talks about, and he came and they did not see him. Have we missed him? Have we missed him? You know, we profess our faith in Christ and we've got eternity sewed up, and then we get in a kind of rut. You know what a rut is, don't you? Can't get out, your tire's stuck in the middle, and so you stay there. Why? Because it's easy. You learn to go at it one way. I'm a creature of habit. If you're around me a little while, you'll find out I like to do things the same way over and over again. I like fried chicken. I like potato salad with pickles in it. Y'all would have to understand. I like cut green beans. I like rolls. Now,
just trying to make us hungry.
Yes, ma'am. We still got a few minutes of my time, though. Hang on. Just think about it, y'all. Now, I can't eat that every day.
Amen.
Maybe I could, but I don't. But think, you know, it would get kind of boring if I ate it every day, but when Cindy fries it up and fixes it up, I know she likes me. Think about it. Think about what rut are you in? You know, do you ever think of doing something different? Like inviting your neighbor to church? Some stranger you meet in the drugstore or Walmart somewhere? You ever just stopped somebody? You ever just said, "Let me show you something. Let me show you a little card. Give them a card. Invite them to Rolling Hills Baptist Church." Absolutely. Show Christ. "For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs." God laid out the program. The Jewish people had everything down, except they didn't want to follow it. What they want to do is follow their own way. I think a lot of times we want to do it our way. Amen. You know, we got to do it our way. We got to be in charge. We got to be the top dog. We got to show. We got to do everything. And God says, back up.
Amen.
Lift up other people. Push them along. Don't push yourself along. Do it the way I want it done. The patriarchs knew. Y'all do know that we're all going to die, right? Everybody's got that down? Okay. What happens after that? You're either going to go to hell or heaven. Now, I suggest you go to heaven. Now, there's some people so hard-headed, they'll never get to heaven. You know why? Because they don't believe the way the Bible says. It can't be the truth. Y'all understand that? There may be even people in this room that believe, "Well, my mama said I could do it this way. If I'm a good boy or good girl all my life, I'll go to heaven." No, you won't, because there's no good boys and no good girls in this room. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. There's no good boys and good girls outside this room. Everybody's the same. We're all sinners needing a Savior. And if you believe that you're a good person, more power to you. The only problem is you're going to be a good person in hell. God wants you to go to heaven. Amen? I hope everybody hears me. Verse 9, "And in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written." See, Paul brings the Gentiles in. See, the Jews don't believe the Gentiles even have a right to be saved. There was a process to where Gentiles could become Jewish people in the Old Testament. They could be God worshipers. And the Jews made it such a mockery that they set up money changers and cows and lambs and all that and where the Gentiles were supposed to meet. And so it pretty well said, don't come because we don't have a place for you. And they made money where they were supposed to allow Gentiles to come and begin a process of accepting God. That's why when we block people in this church from coming for any reason, think back those Jewish people. What did Christ do? Christ took and made a little whip, drove all the animals out, turned over the money changers, get out of my father's house. And he just ran them off. Of course, they put it all back. Y'all knew that? Yeah. Then one day, the Roman army destroyed the temple. Why? Now, the Romans are going to let the temple stand, but then the Jews, they rebelled against Rome, even though God said, you're going to be ran over. He told them ahead of time, every time somebody ran over them and hauled people off. And they come back to the land, be blessed a little while, and then they go right back doing what they want to. They're worshiping idols and doing things they weren't supposed to, and they absolutely walk away from God. And God said, okay, watch this. One time he killed a third of them, hauled off a third of them and left a third in the land. Another time he took even more out of town. Each time the Jewish people would come back and work right for a little while, maybe 100 years, and go right back to where they were. Do we have a revival and then we fall back? Think about that. So then it goes on. It says, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again, it said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with my people, with his people. And again, listen, these are all scriptures from the Old Testament talking about Gentiles being included. See, we think that Jews were the only ones, but God was already preparing that the Gentiles could come in. And this is where he's talking about. So it goes on and praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. And let the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. Of course, Jesse was King David's father, the root of the kingdom of David. And there's Jesse. So he's showing that root comes right on through. Amen. And then verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. A lot of times people are Christians and they're the most unhappy people I know. It's sad. And I or anybody can talk to you blue in the face, but they made up their mind that they've got a raw deal in God. Let me tell you a little secret. If you develop patience, when trouble comes, it won't be as bad. And as you develop patience in trouble, it will go away sooner. Okay? But Brother Bill, there's still trouble. Yeah, I can guarantee you. And nobody in this room that's not going to have trouble. Christian or not, it's just what goes on in earth. Amen? As humans, you've got to understand, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. He did the moment he saved you. He gave you the joy of the Lord. And you know, it's not where, sometimes I don't come in with a smile on my face. Well, I have reasons. I don't like y'all. No, that's not it. I come in, maybe my neck's hurt me a little bit. So, you know, maybe I'm not smiling and laughing and cutting up. But, you know, in my heart, I have joy because I know the Lord has got me and he's taken care of me. And even in my pain, I still celebrate God. I know what he's doing. I know he is working even this day in this room through His Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. If you don't have peace, do you have Christ? Now, you can be without peace. I understand that because you've allowed yourself to fall into sin. God says to repent of your sin. Ask Him what's wrong. What should I do? He'll change you. Amen. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Abound in hope. To be abundantly filled with hope. That you know that God's got you and got everything going right. I pray each one of you understand Him. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Love can heal all. And I suggest that Jesus Christ be the love that each of us need and each of us should use. Let's all stand. I suggest if you don't know Christ, come, let us talk, let us reason. If you want to join this church by statement or by letter, it's also the time to come. Brother Carlos?